In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.
And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world of today. And this week, there's no guest. It's just me. So good luck. So you're about to be given many years worth of concessions off your purgatory by listening to me tonight. A little bit about my testimony. I thought I'd relax the guests for 1 week just to sort of wind things down here at the Catholic Toolbox and speak a little bit about myself, just a bit about my faith journey and also observations I made about the church for the past 10 years and where we're heading from my perspective. Why is my perspective unique? Because I've grown up for the past 10 years in the church. I've seen and interacted at all levels in different areas of the church. And running the Catholic Toolbox radio show, we work very closely to gather information and data from different Catholic sources. So I think tonight will be a little bit interesting just to hear a little bit about my story and how I came back to the faith. So just to talk a little bit about faith and how my faith journey started. It started back in 2009 where I came back to the faith in my reconversion, my reversion back to the faith. I was baptized in the year 1995 in St. Patrick's Cathedral, Parramatta, and was later confirmed in the year 2010. And during that period, a bit of a vacuum. I mean, cultural Catholicism, I mean, you're culturally Catholic. I mean, you go to Mass just because your parents take you. I think back in the year 2008, I started to discover evangelical Christianity and the Bible and studying and reading about the Bible and learning about scripture from a Protestant's lens. And I think, thank God really for that, because if it wasn't for that, then I didn't really discover the fullness of truth. And it gave me that foundation to appreciate the scriptures, and hearing it from a non-Catholic lens really helps you appreciate, I think, very much your own faith, because you're valuing the scripture, which is what we believe in, but essentially it's coming from a different person's mouth. It's sort of like as Catholics how we appreciate sometimes the liturgy, apostolic authority, when we hear it from the words of our separated brethren, the Orthodox. I mean, in the same way, hearing it from Protestant lens and studying scripture, YouTube videos, the Bible from a Protestant perspective for about 2 years, from the year 2007 to 2009, helped me rediscover my faith. Because, you know, you have, over the years of growing up, you know, there's cultural Catholicism, going to Mass every Sunday, not really knowing what it is. You know, sometimes there are periods of time where I felt, you know, holy, holier than others. You know, when you hear about a miracle here and there, it's absolutely amazing, because essentially what's happening is that, you know, your faith is being awakened when you hear about, you know, an apparition or a miracle that happened down the road. And you sort of have those holy moments growing up. But, you know, apart from that, it's on and off. It wasn't really a dynamic faith until 2009, when Tim Staples, organized by Parousia Media and Shatbel Reich, to their credit, I owe them a lot of spiritual debt. had organized Tim Staples for the first time. At first, I think for a very long time, there hadn't been international speakers, which came out back to, really at all. I mean, to Australia. I mean, it was unheard of. I think there were before. I wasn't really sure before then, but nobody really heard of speakers coming out, dynamic Catholic speakers before then. I mean, Tim Staples was just phenomenal, because it was at that time that I experienced a Protestant service, and I was there, and my faith was attacked about purgatory, about the papacy, about Mary, about idols, about statues, which were they accused as being idols. And you know, you're put on the spot there and then. I think it was in the year 2009, about August, that I went there to that Protestant evangelical gathering in a public space, and they start questioning me all these things, and I didn't really know how to answer. All I knew was, yes, the Bible, I believed in the Bible, I was studying the Bible, I was reading the Bible, understanding, you know, Jesus and the basic principles of Christianity. But it was in 2009 that experience happened there, where I actually went to a few Protestant circles, a I think it was just an independent church, run by just an independent ministry that was an offshoot of Hillsong, I believe, or the Baptist movement. I wasn't really sure, but it was just like somebody who established their own individual ministry. And I was there, and they asked me certain questions, and they said, "Are you a Christian? Are you born again, or are you saved? Are you saved?" I mean, it's interesting. It's a very interesting question when people ask you that. Are you saved? And I wasn't used to that too much. Even though I was studying the Bible, I just knew I was Catholic, I was Christian, I was sort of saved. I just thought, you know, all denominations were basically, as long as we're Christian, we believe in Jesus, all those denominations are just human disagreements at human levels. And just that doesn't really matter. That was my impression at the time, between 2007 to 2009, that, you know, all denominations of Christianity were just man-made, but the basic principles came from Jesus. So that was my impression at that point, and I didn't really see a problem with why, you know, being Catholic. I just liked being Catholic because of the political affiliation, that, hey, we're Catholic, we're the biggest, largest denomination. It sounds pretty cool. We're the oldest. We have a Vatican. We have the Pope. We have a bigger figurehead. But what was unique about the Catholic Church? I really discovered in that moment that when they had attacked me on different number of topics, and I had no response, I didn't have any response. I went home angry that day, and I wanted to discover what exactly was unique about being Catholic. Why exactly is Catholicism unique compared to every other Christian denomination? I knew Jesus Christ was true. I knew at that point, I had no doubt that Christianity was the true, that God existed because of the five principles of St. Thomas Aquinas. That I think I sort of figured them out naturally. It came to my mind that cause, contingency, the five principles, that I think they were very natural to me, that the universe is caused by something, even though 13.5 billion years ago, the Big Bang Theory, I believe scientifically, did on a scientific level cause the universe. But where did that energy, where did that matter and energy come from? It was created by God. Whatever happened afterwards, the Big Bang happened after creation, that split second or before, that a God did exist, which, by the way, a lot of people, to a lot of people's surprise, the Big Bang Theory was actually suggested by then Father Georges Lemaître, Professor and Father Georges Lemaître, who collaborated with Albert Einstein, who developed the whole principle of the Big Bang Theory. I mean, a Catholic priest / engineering and physics professor who was Bulgarian developed the Big Bang Theory. And so I studied into that and the science of that. But I knew that God existed. Then proceeding forward, okay, it came down to the three Abrahamic religions. Judaism, which was then fulfilled in Christianity, and then Islam, which did not fulfill what the Old Testament brought through. I knew that Christianity for sure was true. And then, so that's where my faith sat, where Christianity was right. But who was the true church? I mean, for 2 years of my life, when I was studying from 2007 to 9, reading the Bible, getting into the YouTube videos, going to some talks from Protestants, family, friends here and there who had become born agains, former Catholics who had become born agains, hearing about that and, you know, just learning was of interest to me. I think it gave that foundation because, you know, sometimes when you grow up Catholic, you take it for granted and you're sick of, you know, the same old thing. You just want to be different. I think that played a factor in why I just never studied into my faith earlier. And I think, I mean, I went to a Catholic school. I won't name the name, but, you know, I didn't really learn my faith. Just like most young people, they don't learn their faith from the school. You absolutely, I think it does more damage, personally, from my experience, to your actual Catholic faith. And that's why, personally, when I get married, I won't be sending my kids to anything other than a something which is apart from any other mainstream system, public. I'll be devising something that's customized to my own children or seeking a more, let's say, a pirated organization. Or something of that nature, something which where you're going to be actually taught the Catholic faith authentically in its fullness. Because, you know, what's the point of paying money? You're trying to teach, be Catholic. There's no point if it's not doing the job. And I think I didn't learn it from the classroom. Absolutely, I didn't learn from the classroom. I had to learn it through my own journey of learning it from our separated brethren, the appreciation for scripture, the basic principles of Christianity, that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, and he did fulfill the Old Testament prophecies that were spoken about him in Isaiah and all the other Old Testament texts foretold of Jesus Christ. And the whole sacrificial system in the Old Testament was something which was absolutely amazing. It was amazing. I think that really struck me, that the whole temple sacrifice system that God set up. And then you look at other religions, it's very interesting how other religions also had the system of sacrifices. I think it's somewhat embedded in human nature to offer something if you want something in return. It's just in our nature. I mean, that gift giving is a sacrifice, essentially. But I got into the Old Testament temple worship and how it was there, and then how Christianity and Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Now, I'm not fast-tracking to the priesthood because it never came to my mind that the priesthood was some kind of sacrificial offering. But let's now go into a bit about 2007 to 2009, studying scripture, getting onto it, and really appreciating scripture and just Christianity in general, and then proceeding from there to actually appreciating further why I'm Catholic. Because in 2009, I went to that Protestant sermon, and then they take me, I went home very angry, determined to find the answers, to the question, why is the Catholic Church different from every other church? What makes the Catholic Church so special? What is different? Do we need to be Catholic, or is just as long as you're Christian, you accept, you know, the basic teachings of Christianity, you're fine? But it didn't make sense to me, because where do the Jehovah's Witnesses sit? Where do the Mormons sit? They aren't often categorized as Christians. So that's where, you know, I went back home. I was like, I need to know the answers. I didn't cave in and just say, yes, well, the Catholic Church is bad, because I always had been taught from a young age to think for yourself. Ask questions, critique. Maybe because I went to a Jewish primary preschool a little bit before I entered school. So maybe that's where it came from, that appreciation there. To think, ask questions, be skeptical. Don't simply just cave in just because someone, I didn't know the answer there and then. I didn't know the answer to purgatory. I didn't know where on earth it came from. My only response there and then to those Protestants who were attacking me was, oh, well, look, it's implied in scripture. That's all I knew. And then I laughed it off. And then second was the papacy. Where'd the Pope come from? I didn't know. How come you guys worship Mary? I didn't even know what worship was at that stage, or the difference between veneration, worship, intercession. So I didn't know. Mary. So that's another thing I had to address. Fourth, why do you guys have statues when the first commandment says, thou shalt not make any graven image under any likeness, be it under heaven or the earth or under the sea? Made sense to me then that, well, why are we having statues? Why do we walk around, you know, growing up in a Lebanese household, why do we bow to images and statues of Mary? Why are we running around them like fanatics? Aren't we worshipping Mary? Are we worshipping those statues? And the fifth thing which I got attacked on there and then was that, you know, the extra traditions. Why do you need tradition? Why do you need the traditions of men when scripture alone is and was the fullness and source of truth? That went into sola scriptura. So why do Catholics add things outside the Bible? There were different schools of thought, I think, there in my experience, where some said, look, the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. The Catholic Church, 666, the Pope, the Vatican, the corruption. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. But we're talking here not about human corruption. I mean, you can talk about financial corruption. You can talk about everything. We've had all sorts of scandals throughout church history. And the first started with Judas Iscariot. And I'm sure you can find many throughout church history and probably currently and everywhere. But we weren't talking about church politics. We're talking here, is the Catholic Church religiously, theologically, the whore of Babylon? Was it the Antichrist? We're not talking about human corruption. There's a distinction here. So this is where I came up and I went straight home. And guess what was there? I was about to sort of cave in. I mean, they were more convincing, even though I was trying to find arguments for the Catholic faith. I mean, you can't go to the classroom. They weren't going to teach you anything. I couldn't go to my parents. They didn't know theologically much because, you know, at the end of the day, they went through a generation where the faith wasn't propagated. They knew it culturally. They knew it. They knew to have faith in that great faith. But I needed theology. I needed answers to the questions. So that's where I couldn't go to the classroom. Where are you going to learn it from there? The teachers didn't even know what they were talking about. Second, I had to go to the internet, but God knows where to find good Catholic teaching at that point in time. So it just so happened that there and then I had a CD that was distributed through a friend of a friend, published by Parousia Media, and I highly recommend you check them out on www.parousiamedia.com. Parousia Media by Tim Staples. It was, I believe, his testimony as to why he was a Protestant and came back to the Catholic faith. And I knew that as I was heading home there, I knew that that CD was there, something about some former Protestant Bible-believing guy, which I was very interested in, who's now Catholic, rocked my mind. I was like, wow, I'm going to get a hold of that CD. I'm going to actually put that into my laptop at the time when CDs back in the days used to take laptops. And there and then I discovered there and then, listening to that 1 hour, I believe it was over an hour and a half, about his testimony, about how we came back to the Catholic faith and understood that each argument that was posed by the Protestant could be answered. And so some things were answered there about Mary, about the saints, about Eucharist. So it was a similar experience to what I had experienced. Tim Staples there and then saved my faith by his help, by that simple CD, because the journey didn't stop there. I then proceeded to look at, oh, where did I get this CD from? Parousia Media. And then ordering more and more and more CDs. More CDs. And to this day, I have about, you know, a whole box of them. Every single topic I wanted to know, you know, from his first tour, you know, every single talk that he gave. And then I started getting to Scott Hahn. Then I started getting into studying books and had a great priest, then at the time, I believe it was Father Andrew Bass, Parramatta at the time, who helped me and gave me resources to further study my faith, to his credit, and a big shout out to him. And there and then, studying the faith and knowing my why am I Catholic? Why do I believe? What are the basic principles of the Catholic faith? Save my faith. And I finally not lost my Protestant inkling, but basically fulfilled it. Where, sure, the Bible was the inspired word of God, but why? I completed myself, I believe, there and then into knowing why the scriptures were inspired. It was simply inspired because the Catholic Church has the authority from Jesus Christ to canonize scripture. It had the authority to decide which books went into the Bible, which is an interesting argument that I always pose to our separated brethren. You know, to now, you know, I don't bother anymore arguing about different topics, Mary, saints. I get straight to the foundation. They believe in sola scriptura. They hold to the truth of the gospel in the scripture, and they hold to the scripture as being divinely inspired by God, and amen to that. We share that and we stand by that with our separated brethren. But why and how that came to be put the icing on the cake back to the Catholic faith. So I started studying why we have images, why we have statues, why Mary is venerated, not worshipped, where purgatory comes from. All the questions and the oppositions against the Catholic faith were answered for me through studying Tim Staples, Scott Hahn, many other people, Father Mitch Pacwa, EWTN. I began to watch videos. I began to study my faith by myself. And this was in the year 2009, 10, and 11. So I was in high school. I was doing this all alone by myself. We were paying for school, but I don't know what we were paying for. A lot of the time, maybe we can get we could have got a credit back for the religious classes. But I did it all myself. I had to self-teach. And I enjoyed self-teaching myself, studying and reading. And from there, I proceeded to then at the time, the Catholic Adult Education Center as the youngest student there in the year 2010. I took two courses there. I believe, I'm not sure what happened to the center at the time, but it was Catholic Adult Education Center, which was set up by then Father John Flader. A priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei at the time, and I met him and a good friend, and then we became good friends at the time. I took his course on the church, and at that point in time, it really helped me because it was a $90 course over, I think, in about 8 to 10 weeks, and it was about an hour and a half to 2 hours where you get some notes and you study the faith, and there's about one essay that went at the end. It was optional, you know, if you weren't taking it to get credit for it. But there were so many people there who just simply wanted to learn their faith. And I think for me, going there, learning my faith, meeting people, getting resources, really accelerated my study and growth of the faith. But I had come back to the faith in the year 2010, officially, because this was at the end of 2009. I studied for about 3, 4, 5 months, my faith, having every question answered. I think once, and I want to mention this, I think once the first or the second opposition to the faith, such as purgatory and Mary and statues, were answered for me, I knew that there was something wrong with the Protestant arguments against the Catholic Church. I knew that the sophistication in which Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Catholic Answers. I really got into Catholic Answers, and a great shout out to Catholic Answers for every answer I needed was answered by Catholic Answers. I mean, there's always, and I trusted, as Father Mitch Pacwa at the time watching and said, always trust, no matter what opposition to the faith, no matter what question you have, always trust there is a good Catholic answer to everything. We have answers to basically every element of human life pertaining to faith, morals, and discipline, and other things relating to that. We have Catholic answers. If you have a question about contraception, abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, if you have questions about pornography, about how should I live my life, what happens after death, we have the answers because we are God's church. We are established by Jesus Christ, outside which there is no salvation. The Catholic Church is the true faith, and I knew there and then, in those first three arguments that were answered with such sophistication, then in the spirit of my objectivity in getting both sides of the story, I was fair. I went back to some Protestants and I went back to them with the answers, the same people. I called them up, I had their contact details and I had their email addresses. So what I did there at the time, after I stayed for 2-3 months, I never really went back to a few of those Protestant services. I emailed them, I called them, I answered their questions, and they just kept coming back to me with well, you know, Jesus alone, you know, God, as long as you know, accept Jesus Christ, brother, as your personal Lord and Savior, that's all that matters. Yeah, you can be a Catholic, be whatever, that's fine. Some said, you know, the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon, but as long as you know, you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. I'm here trying to respond to disagreements and arguments against the Catholic faith. And I finally found the courage. I finally found the resources on my own, independently from any mainstream system, to find the answers. And eventually, that's what brought me back to the Catholic faith. But I knew there and then that the arguments they were giving me back were so weak. You know, it depended, me leaving the Catholic Church depended on my ignorance of the Catholic faith. I mean, so many Catholics, so-called Catholics, who leave the Catholic Church, who go away because they don't know their faith. They didn't learn it from school. They didn't learn it from their parents. And most definitely, they didn't learn it from their parish, because maybe there isn't a catechetical program in every parish, or maybe father's very busy, he has pastoral duties, and they couldn't learn the faith. It was those answers that brought me back to the Catholic faith. It was those Catholic answers to those intellectual questions. I didn't come back through youth groups and these things. I didn't actually like youth groups. I didn't actually like, you know, this whole communal thing. I just wanted answers. Why do we believe in marriage? Why do we leave? I have a curious nature. And so that's what did it for me. I knew that after the couple arguments answered, there was a Catholic answer for everything. But it depended on you seeking, honestly, those objective answers, which I believe most Catholics who leave the faith don't. Over the past 10, 15 years, there's been up to 10,000, I believe, former Protestants, pastors, come back to Rome, come back to the Catholic Church because they knew both sides of the story. They studied the Catholic faith objectively. They studied Scripture and Sola Scriptura and the arguments of Protestant theology objectively. They had knowledge of both and they came back to the faith because they knew that this was the fullness of truth. And for me, I knew what the Protestant theology taught. I studied, I embraced, I accepted it. And I just sort of kept the Catholic Church on the side. I'll just keep going to Mass. It's something nice. You know, we break bread, but it's really symbolic. You know, I just kept that there. I understood both sides of the argument. And you finally, and I felt sorry for so many Catholics when I came back to the church. I felt so sorry for so many Catholics in pews who just, I believe 80% didn't know what the real presence was, didn't know basic teachings of the faith were. And a lot of which leave the faith thinking they made a good decision, but they simply didn't do a Google search about what the church taught. All it takes is to Google simple places. Now we live in the technological era where everything is available on Google. We have no excuses. So you can go to places like www.catholicanswers.com. You can go to parousiamedia.com. You can also go to our website here at the Catholic Toolbox on www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. There are plenty of resources to learn your faith. You don't need to rely on anybody, any classroom anymore. You can self-teach yourself. There's plenty of YouTube videos which are approved by the church, good mainstream sources that can teach you your faith. And look, I do give some credit. I did indeed come across individual Protestant conversions to Catholicism, so many. And it was the same over and over again. It was the same conviction that Jesus established one church and everything on as an offshoot from that departed from that fullness of truth. And I had confidence there and then that the Catholic Church was the true church, and I came back. But my experience coming back to the church, it was like as if I was reborn. When you study your faith, you know finally why we believe what we believe. It was transformative for me. So in the year 2010, you know, coming back, you know, you look, I saw the church with a different view. And I'll be talking about that after the break. So I think I covered a lot here about my testimony. And now if anybody wants to call in here, the number is 96256111. That is 96256111. Or simply email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or don't forget, you can comment in any of the live Facebook feeds that are on here tonight. We're live on Parousia Media, Catholic Toolbox, Voice of Charity, and we're also live on YouTube as well. So a bit of a promo before we go on our break is that if you're considering hiring a photographer or videographer for your wedding function or occasion, I highly recommend you check out Captured Frames. That is on www.capturedframes.com. So www.capturedframes.com. Be in contact with Siren. So email Siren at CYRON@capturedframes.com.au. Captured Frames I highly recommend because it is a Catholic business. It is important and imperative to support Catholic businesses, and they do tremendous work. And I highly recommend them, and I am personally using them for my own wedding and other functions. So I highly recommend you support good Catholic businesses who do a tremendous job. Just check out their website. So stay tuned here on 1701 AM. We'll be back shortly. and welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, as we keep you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world of today. This week, we're speaking a bit about me, a bit about my testimony, and how I came back to the Catholic faith. And now we're going to be going into a little bit of observation of what I saw when I came back to the Catholic faith. I mean, growing up a cultural Catholic, just habitually going to Mass and learning here and there something about my faith, I finally came to the realization I needed to know more. I needed to know why I was Catholic. I needed to know the answers to why. Why was I going to Mass? Why do I believe what I believe? The Church has some pretty tough teaching that you have to accept, especially on sexuality, especially on different areas of life that could impact my future. I needed to know why I was Catholic. And I believe this is the key for most people to come back to the faith. They need to know why. I don't believe the classrooms are doing it justice. I don't believe a lot of families who obviously themselves aren't catechized can do any justice. And I believe a lot of in the parish life is not doing a lot of justice to this because we don't have enough catechetical programs. We don't have enough zeal, I believe, to set these up. We need more action in the Church. And I'll be speaking about that a little bit later and things from my perspective that I saw when I came back. But before we go into that, I just like to promote very seriously Captured Frames. So if you're considering hiring a photographer, videographer for any occasion or function, I highly recommend that you check out Captured Frames on www.capturedframes.com. The reason why I chose to use Captured Frames is because of the quality of their work. I've been to so many Catholic weddings where they have such amazing quality when it comes to the Church. Not every photographer knows how and videographer knows how to capture the Church. Knows how to capture the beauty of the occasion. And there you go. For those on Facebook, you can see on your right is Siren. Siren is one of the founders of Captured Frames. He is a good practicing Catholic, and I pray very much for him and his the tremendous success of the business. I've just been to so many Catholic weddings over the years, faithful Catholics who are Sunday Mass going, practicing, and they have just, without a shadow of a doubt, went with Siren and the team at Captured Frames. You get about a handful, more than a handful of people, I believe, onto your wedding, capturing every element from, let's say, the reactions to the different images. I don't actually know. I'm not a good photographer myself, but they do a tremendous job. I mean, if you could just go to their website, if you scroll up here, if you keep scrolling up, you can go and look at every single one of the weddings that they've actually done, and they take tremendous quality. I mean, I think it's very much worth investing some money. And I mean, they are quite competitive on price. I mean, for me, I look at time, cost, and quality, three factors of project management. And I think on the quality of things, there's no shadow of a doubt they do a tremendous job. And price, they give a tremendously competitive price. So I highly recommend you check out Captured Frames on www.capturedframes.com. Get in contact with Siren by going to the website, or you can simply email him on Siren, C-Y-R-O-N, at capturedframes.com. So check out and support Catholic businesses for your next wedding, function, or occasion for videos or photography. They do a tremendous job. So now to more serious things, where be sure to subscribe to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes on Apple iTunes, or simply go to our website on www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. Go to our weekly subscription. You can subscribe, put your email in there on www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. You can subscribe to our weekly podcast alert, where we alert you of every single episode and every single event that's around the Catholic Toolbox work. We have a great future planned here for the Catholic Toolbox. It's going to be huge. It's going to be amazing. We're building up and we're growing. So thank you very much for all the faithful subscribers, listeners. Our podcast is just absolutely bursting with comments, messages, and I think our pod stats are going worldwide. I mean, it's just absolutely blessed. We've been running it for about a year, just over a year and a half. And I mean, the tremendous support that we've received. I mean, so many Catholics and non-Catholics want practical solutions to their faith. They want to talk about the real world stuff. They want to get out there. They want to actually take action with their faith. And we're helping them to do that, whether it's on the show or outside the show, meeting up with people, helping people, give them advice, point them in the right direction, maybe tailoring a bit of a strategy, a bit of an itinerary of how to live the Catholic faith. That's what we do here at the Catholic Toolbox. We're a radio show, a podcast, and a consultancy. A lot of people don't know that off air, I do meet with people, even parish priests, parishes. I give advice based on my project management experience and business development management experience that I have from the Catholic faith, that we strategize pastoral ways of moving forward for, let's say, the parish, or maybe some advice where we point them in the right direction, put them in contact with a spiritual director. We give that, just that strategic advice for the faith to take action with your faith on a personal level. So I help people in that regard. If you need any help from me personally or our team here at the Catholic Toolbox, be sure to go to our website on www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. Don't forget, you can email me at thecatholictoolboxshow@gmail.com, and we'll get back to your email. We'll put you in the right direction. Whatever help you need on a practical, managerial level on the church, so on a spiritual level if you need help, or on a pastoral level if you're a parishioner or a parish priest that need help, we've been helping people for the past 10 years before the Catholic Toolbox was founded, and now it's finally official that we can help you strategize and tailor a plan here for improvement, or let's say the faith growth in your parish, and any pastoral deficiencies that need looking at. You know, I'm happy to help or comment and give you that feedback, because the church, again, has a human element where we need to target, because there's a crucial area that we've missed, I believe, in the past 50 years of the church, is keeping up to date with what's relevant. And what isn't relevant is watering down Catholicism. What isn't relevant as a young person, in my 20s, early 20s, it is not relevant to young people for the Catholic faith to be watered down, to be washed down with water, you know, the way you wash down your driveway, and watering it down and giving, you know, the way I wash my concrete. I think it's a Lebanese way thing to do. It's not cool. I mean, because what it does essentially is that there's no reason. And this is what I observed when I came back to the Catholic faith, is that I studied the faith. I came back now back to church, getting involved pastorally. What I saw was leaders, a lot of people who didn't actually know the faith, you know, who at Mass, it's as if I came back to an experience where, you know, most people in the pews, I believe, didn't act as if this was Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You go to your parish life and it's as if, am I the only one here who actually knows about the teaching of the church? You go to youth groups all over the place, events, and it's, you experience, you know, people in leadership positions. I mean, you assume they know the faith. And it's as if you ask some questions and they don't know about it. They're just there for a great time. I don't know. Was I the only person that knew the faith? But those are the pastoral experiences I experienced, that people in leadership positions did not know their faith. I think a great deal of Catholics were not catechized. They did not know the basic principles. Things like, where'd the Pope come from? What is the Eucharist? Please explain the Mass. Simple things. You can't be Catholic, you can't be part of an organization, something which is very serious, especially a faith, a religion, if you don't know the basic principles. There's no point. I have friends who've left the Catholic faith, and I actually respect them more that they've left. And they don't come to church until they have to start. They need time off. And some of my friends know who they are. They need time off from the faith. They do. Because legitimately, sometimes you need to study the Catholic faith to actually know why you're Catholic. It's better maybe not to go to Mass until you've renewed your perspective. And before, actually, in 2009, before I actually came back to Mass for good, I actually took some time off Mass to study my faith. And before I went back, I needed to have that renewed perspective. So let's pray that in the church, we can work on re-catechizing the faithful, the new evangelization where, you know, we have to re-evangelize most Catholics. I think about 8 to 10, 12% of Catholics go to Mass, 70% of which don't even believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. I mean, that's a shocking statistic. And I hope I'm wrong. Someone prove me wrong. Call in here on 9625-6111 or 9625-6111 or simply email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com or you can also comment in any of the live Facebook sections. So we have several comments here from everybody. Laurette has said amen. Amen. A lot of amens here. We also have, you know, Agnes. Thank you very much, Agnes, commenting that they're not catechized. So obviously commentary that, you know, a lot of people in the church, in leadership positions, sometimes need to relearn their faith, need to actually understand the teaching of the church. Because when you're leading a youth group, I found, and to my experience, that sometimes if you don't know the faith, how are you going to transmit the faith? So I think we need to double up on our catechesis in the classrooms, in the parishes, whichever youth groups or functions or young adult groups are set up. We need to double up on learning the faith and teaching the faith. It could be, maybe we don't have the resources, but that's why we can supplement it very easily, just like a vitamin supplement. We have YouTube, we have CatholicAnswers.com, we have Parousia Media. We have such amazing resources. We have the Catholic Toolbox show here, but we focus here more on practical solutions to take action with that faith. So, but the prerequisite should be, let's start by giving a first practical solution to any organization, classroom, teacher who runs a classroom. If you learn your faith, and if you need help, go to www.parousiamedia.com. Parousia Media will take care of any resources that you need, online, digitalized, CDs, anything you need. You simply play that in a classroom. You can simply have your youth group function or simply a youth group gathering or weekly get together. You can actually play a video about learning your faith and give people resources. There's plenty of resources to go around. So get in contact with Charbel Raish or any of the team at Parousia Media. So go to www.parousiamedia.com. It's very important. And the reason I say Parousia Media is because let's support homegrown Australian Catholic businesses and non-profit organizations. Because, I mean, we can go to the Americans, but let's support our own. We're growing here in Voice of Charity. We're growing Parousia Media. We're growing these Catholic movements. We are here to change the face of Australia. We have our own domain, our own target audience. And that's why I believe we should definitely go to them. Or if you need any simple answers to the faith, go to www.catholicanswers.com. Catholic Answers is basically Catholic Answers. Do you have a question on anything moral, any religious question? Go to Catholic Answers. So I'm basically tonight running you through my story. And it's very similar. The practical tools tonight come out of my own life story, my own reversion back to the faith, which is basically came through the resources of Parousia Media and through Catholic Answers. And then later through EWTN, Scott Hahn, all the resources. I do give credit in my testimony to churchmilitant.com. I know some people don't condone them, but I think I do definitely, they were very instrumental there. And also the other Catholic bloggers and other Catholic organizations, which did help me with my faith. So tonight, the practical tools I'm giving you, I mean, we gave Parousia Media Catholic Answers, come directly from my story. And I'm taking it on my own personal journey and helping you experience what really helped me in my own personal experience. And when I came back to the faith, back in 2009, finally in 2010, returned back to Mass, knew the Catholic faith was true, and it was the absolute truth, and outside which there is no salvation. And I was confident that the Catholic Church, I think this is the problem, we don't have confidence. We don't have confidence that the Catholic Church is true. We act like, oh, well, you know, it can be true here and there. But we have confidence. We are the true religion of God and the true Church of Jesus Christ on earth. I think confidence is key. So we have a question here on Facebook Live through the Catholic Toolbox page. It comes from Ronald. So Ronald asks, do you think the traditional Latin Mass will play a crucial role in building up parishes and creating more Catholics? Lex orandi, lex credendi. To answer your question, Ronald, I think I want to go through my life, so continue through, and it's so hard, you know, because you run out of so much time, and we have to do definitely a second series on my life story, continuing on the further growth of my faith. In the year 2010, I began studying immensely the faith. I took days off school just to go to Catholic conferences. I studied Catholic Adult Education Center. I sort of skipped a few subjects. I did school my way for the past 2-3 years. You know, I looked at what I needed to learn. So I basically skipped out on some classes, you know, in school. I remember we had a religious, I think, excursion or something. I skipped out on a few excursions. I was like, nah, I'm going to the Tim Staples talk here and there, the Father Mitch Pacwa talk, debates, Catholic events. So I skipped days of school just to go to Catholic events because I saw that as now relevant to my life and what I needed to learn. Part of that was going to vocations expos, and I did come across the Fraternity of St. Peter in the year 2011. I'd heard from a good friend of mine who was a Maronite, he was a Maronite, recommended the traditional Latin Mass. And I had heard a lot about, Ronald, to answer your question, about the traditional Latin Mass and what this old form of Mass, new form of Mass, I hadn't looked into it. I was just purely studying theology, church fathers, and just being so amazed by the fact that the church was, early church was Catholic. It's absolutely phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. You read the Didache, you read the early church. The first 100 years of Christianity was basically Catholic. They believed in bishops, apostolic authority, papacy. This was a dream come true. Now I had to study the church post-Vatican II, pre and post-Vatican II, because I'd heard there was such a big commotion about it. So to get to your question, do you 2011, I finally discovered the traditional Latin Mass at Maternal Heart Lewisham after experiencing the Vocations Expo and the Fraternity of St. Peter, which is a traditional Latin Mass, a traditional order, which came back from the Society of St. Pius X after they had broken off from the church and are now canonically irregular. And hopefully we pray for their return. It should be an easy one. You know, it should be an easy one to return the Society of St. Pius X. And I really had my hopes up with Pope Benedict XVI that we could return the Society of St. Pius X back to Rome. It wouldn't have been a hard one. So to actually understand, to get to the bottom of the story, I went to my first traditional Latin Mass and I had experienced something phenomenal. The theology, the depth of spirituality. I was studying what the Mass was. I was studying what the Mass was. The Mass was a representation of the sacrifice on Calvary and the theology of the Old Testament sacrifices being extrapolated into the New Testament and into the new sacrifice, which is the Mass. And I knew the theology, the lex, and it's interesting that you mentioned the lex credendi, which is how we believe. So there is a saying that goes, lex orandi, lex credendi, how we pray is how we believe. So it's sort of basically, you know, you practice what you preach, right? So, but it's of the theology of the church. So the Mass was the representation of the sacrifice on Calvary. It is the heavenly worship where heaven, purgatory, and earth are united, not in just a spiritual sense, but also a cosmic and ontological sense. Literally, the saints are above you at Mass. When the priest says Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, and he goes through the canon of the Mass, they are physically, spiritually before you. And the souls in purgatory are there. And us, we're there as well, souls on earth. So the church militant on earth, fighting to get to heaven, the church in waiting in purgatory and the church triumphant in heaven were there. So I knew that theology and I went to the Latin Mass and I saw that theology, to be brutally honest, in a greater sense than the new Novus Ordo, the new Rite of Mass, which explains and gets to the heart of your question. Does it play a crucial role in building up parishes and creating more Catholics? Absolutely. When we pray as we believe in a greater sense, it will bring Catholics back. Because what's the point of being Catholic if you're going to act Protestant? What's the point of me going to Mass if we're just going to worship ourselves with the music that we want, with the how we want to worship? It's all about me. When we lose identity, when we lose Catholic identity, and this is what I discovered when I came back to the faith. I learned it all, and now I have to look at the church with a new lens. Left, right, and center, pastoral, youth groups, you know, every avenue of the church, east, west, you know, organizations. when we lost identity, when we watered down the Catholic faith, people leave because there's no point. You know, I can just, if I want entertainment, I'll go somewhere else. There's, you know, we can't compete with entertainment. But if you want the mass, if you want the sacrifice of the mass and the spiritual growth of a liturgy which contains great theology. Now, this is not a question of masses being valid. Both forms of the Roman Rite are valid and are worthy. The new rite needs, I think, a bit more theological repair in the rituals. And I work very closely on this as an assistant master of ceremonies myself and a great liturgical enthusiast over the years. And every other Eastern liturgy is valid. It's not just, you know, a Roman Rite question, but I think it plays a crucial role, Ronald, in building up Catholics. No wonder every traditional Latin Mass is filled with young families, young Catholics. Young Catholics are flocking to traditional Masses. Why? Well, they're going to both. They're everywhere. But why do you exclusively see a large number of young people in traditional Latin Masses? Because I believe the traditional Latin Mass does contain, the rubrics, it gives you a quality assurance that the Mass will be celebrated reverently. It doesn't give provisions for all sorts of music to be innovated. Now, there's nothing wrong with innovating different sorts of music, but I do believe, and this is my personal view and the view of many other theologians and liturgists, is that when you innovate liturgy and it becomes worldly, it detracts from the quality of your prayer. Because having a traditional Mass in a parish, let's say incorporating a Latin Mass in your parish, I believe exposes people to both the ordinary form and the extraordinary form, which help their faith. And when you expose the Latin Mass to people, they better appreciate the new Mass. They understand the theology better. And therefore, it has an identity which keeps people Catholic, because it gives that sense of aura and mystery that's there. So much so that, let's say, several Jewish people, I believe, walked into a traditional Latin Mass and they understood straight away. They understood straight away. This is the foot of the altar, the temple, the introibo adotare dei, the prayers at the foot of the altar signified exactly what the priest of the Old Testament used to say. You know, introibo adotare dei adem culitificat juventutem meum. I come unto the altar of God, to the God who giveth joy to my youth. It contained great theology, I believe, which is lacking in the new rite. But not in a bad sense, not in a detrimental sense. Both forms are valid, equal. And the solution of Pope Benedict XVI was, why does one form have to be in opposition to the other? Why can't we have both? ¿Por qué no los dos? Why can't we have both? And I think integrating the Latin Mass into an everyday parish life can be very beneficial to the spirituality of people attending the new form, the old rite, and it gives people an option. You know, we have two forms of the Roman Rite, which are beautiful. The new Mass will definitely, obviously, assuming it's celebrated with reverence, and the Latin Mass celebrated with reverence, brings young Catholics back. There's just something there. I need to get some data here, you know, why people are coming back, some concrete data. But my observation, my empirical observation, is that it's helped people, because people study the faith, they know the faith. Young Catholics who are catechized like myself, we studied the faith. We want to see it practiced at Mass. We want to see the theology of the sacrifice, the Eucharist. We want to see it manifested in the actions, the rituals, the genuflection, the outwards. We want to see that. And it helps us to pray better. That's what we call accidental grace. So if we have better rituals and prayers and more things that we clothe it with that help us pray better, we get more graces accidentally. Even though every liturgy is a valid form of Mass and it's the same, equally the same in dignity, it can give you a few more extra graces praying in a different way or more reverent way, which contains more theology. That's the whole sense of practicing what you preach, not in a moral sense, but in a theological sense, where we manifest in our liturgy there. I think I went overboard with that, but I think it's definitely an underexplained topic. It's definitely an underrated thing, Ronald. Thank you very much for your question. I have Agnes with a very beautiful comment. Young Catholics love beauty, thus they preferred the traditional Latin Mass. I think young people, everybody, who doesn't love beauty? Which human being doesn't love beauty? But it has to first start, because you see often people who love traditional bells and smells, but they don't have the foundation of theology and what the faith is actually about. They love it, but you know, you sometimes get atheists who love Latin masses and who love liturgies and music, but to them it's just a beautiful thing. But they don't have the foundation of the theology which complements it. I think people need to fall in love with the beauty first of the theology, what we believe, why we believe. And then you proceed onto, okay, how is this shown in the liturgy? How is this manifested? And then it's not just about the Latin Mass. It's also a piece of advice is check out the Eastern Rites. We as a Catholic Church, we have 22 different rites. We have the Latin Rite, which comprises most Catholics, which has two forms of the Roman Rite. You have the external form, ordinary form. Then you have Maronite Rite. You have the Coptic Rite. You have the Byzantine Rites, which are like the Byzantine Greek usage. You have Armenian Catholics. I mean, geez, they have a beautiful liturgy, the Armenians. I've been to, and you can attend several around Sydney. For instance, we have a Coptic Catholic Church here in Prospect. We have the Armenian Catholics down in Lidcombe. We have the Malkite Catholics as well. There are several around Sydney. Experience different rites. They have their own beauty in their sense. And it gives you the sense of the universality. They're all valid liturgies and they all have their own tradition. And they all manifest the theology of this sacrifice of the Mass, and the Mass being the breaking of the bread and the physical presence of Jesus in their own different way, with emphasis on different pieces of theology. For instance, the Maronite liturgy, which is part of my heritage and background, emphasizes the eschatological, for instance, the second coming of Jesus. Like, for instance, I had a Latin Rite person, someone of the Latin Rite, come to me years ago and say, look, I didn't actually know there's such an emphasis on Jesus coming back and his second return after I attend the Maronite liturgy. And, you know, when you go to the Byzantine Rite, there's another emphasis on that kind of, in their Mass, they emphasize a bit more theology on different areas. So experience different rites of the faith, of our faith. And so I think this week, you know, being a very unique podcast and radio show, especially after many requests and emails, people said, look, we want to hear a little bit about your story. And so I took a break with guests here tonight and just spoke about myself and who I am and the man behind the Catholic Toolbox. So I definitely and highly recommend that you go to our website on www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com. And email us with any inquiries, questions, or anything that you have at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. I'll be happy to take any questions and get in contact with us here at the Catholic Toolbox. We are here to serve Catholics, to aid that next step, not just learning your faith, but then taking action with the second struggle, which is then taking the theology, the teaching of the church, learning it. But then how do we enact it in our day-to-day life to grow in our faith? Because the big struggle is actually living it. We learn our faith, we study theology, we learn the teachings of the church to do what? To learn about pretty things and pretty ideas? No, it's to take action. And this is the part which in our modern age, we've come with a specific struggle, being in a secular world, in the ordinary circumstances of our daily life, where I believe we do need to focus very specifically on coming back and learning to take action with our faith in a practical manner, finding practical solutions of our Catholic faith in our modern world today. And thank God for the Catholic Toolbox show. I definitely will do another episode talking about how I founded the Catholic Toolbox about 2 years ago. It came at an epiphany when I was in a meeting and I wanted this kind of a meeting, strategic meeting for the church. And so I won't reveal too much of that. We'll have another episode on that. But thank you so much for everybody tuning in and for these practical tips and tools that we've discussed tonight. If you enjoy listening to Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. If you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, go to our website at www.thecatholictoolboxshow.com/store. Go to the store section to order any of your merchandise of the Catholic Toolbox. Be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes available on the Apple iTunes, Android, and all other platforms. Also, re-watch and listen on the podcast platform wherever you get your podcast from. So thank you for tuning in to The Art of Practical Catholicism on the Catholic Toolbox, as we equip you with practical solutions. I'm your host and founder, Georgia Manassa. Until next week, God bless, take care, and take action.
In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.